This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Let's have some fun. On a Tuesday, and things are getting spicy all around the globe. They're getting spicy in the judicial system right now. Trump had a phone call with Putin. The JFK files are out there. All that, emails. We're going to have a long talk about the honey rant I went on from last night. Apparently, you know what? No, I wasn't mistaken. You're mistaken. All that and so much more coming up on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show tonight. I actually want to begin. Well, first, let's just get this out of the way.
The JFK files. And I need to put the ultimate disclaimer on this. As you hear the sound of my voice right now, 6 p.m. Eastern time, the JFK files have not only not been released, they're saying it's delayed, but I'm going to make the ultimate assumption that they will be released at some point over the next few hours or at least tomorrow morning. Okay, so this is me assuming they're about to drop, as Trump promised they would. All right, there's my disclaimer. I talked about it last night. I told you what was coming today with the JFK files being released. I talked about it last night. I told you what was coming today with the JFK files being released. 80,000 pages. One, it is good that Trump did it. Not because there's something groundbreaking or that you're going to find something groundbreaking or something with incredible value in there. I guess there's always a chance. I just don't think you will. It's great that Donald Trump did it. For this reason, I'm going to give you a kind of a long explanation on this because we haven't had this talk in a long time. Human beings, they have chosen all throughout history to come and live together around other human beings. Sometimes that's a small tribe somewhere. Sometimes if it gets big enough and prosperous enough and they have enough resources, sometimes it'll become a more well-established nation. But human beings choose to live around other human beings. And in so doing, they agree to have a government of some kind, a governing body that makes laws, enforces laws, defends the country, all the things you expect government to do. Now, here's the thing about governments. No matter what form of government it is, monarchy, republic, whatever it happens to be, it is a two-way agreement. Tyrants have always made the mistake of thinking it's only one way. You're the peasant. You're the citizen. You submit to my rule. But they've all lied to themselves. Even kings who've tried to rule that way lie to themselves. It's always been a two-way street. Even if I'm under a monarchy, which I don't ever want to be. Okay, Mr. King, that's fine. You rule. You're the king. You rule. You do as you please. But I will have some things provided for me, to me, I should say, by you, or we are going to have a problem. It doesn't matter. The feudal lord times, you know about feudal lords, or at least you know a little bit about that, where there's maybe a king, but then there are certain areas, we'll just call them states to make it an easier explanation, where there will be a lord. He is the lord over this specific area. And this is an oppressive system where he is the lord and you really don't have many rights. If he rides into your village and decides he wants to take your wife and your dog, he can take your wife and your dog. And that's a horrible system to live under, but it is that way. However, that goes both ways. There's an agreement.
Yeah, I'll make my crops and you can have my wife and my dog. But if barbarians come storming through our lands, you, feudal lord, you will grab your armor and your shield and your spear and hop on your horse and you're going to go fight some bad guys for me. It's a two-way street. And you have to have, you must have, it is a critical element for a country. A country that does not have it, I'm about to say, will not exist for the long term. Of course, you're going to exist for a while, but for the long term, you cannot go on as a country. You cannot go on if there is not a level of trust the citizens have in their government. You can't. Citizens have to look at their government and have a certain level of trust. If that level of trust is shattered, if it is broken, then, look, you can start the countdown. Maybe it'll be 50 years from now, but the countdown has begun. If that trust is broken, if that contract is broken, then that country will end, or at least go through some kind of terrible upheaval that will be awful. Here in the United States of America, years and years and years, decades really of this, but it's really ramped up recently. We've gotten used to a system of government where our government lies to us, oppresses us, and never feels the need to be accountable to us at all. How many times have you seen an FBI agent, FBI director, Christopher Wray is a great example of this, sit in front of Congress being asked questions by our representatives? Remember, the House represents you. The House represents me. That's why you send a member of Congress back there. They are your representative. They are the ones who speak with your voice back there. And the director of the FBI repeatedly sits in front of the House, sits in front of the Senate and says, well, I can't comment on that. Well, I can't comment on an ongoing investigation. Well, I'll do the best I can to find it. And you never hear. Same thing, IRS, over and over and over again, government agency after government agency spitting in your face, violating that trust. You, peasant, you don't get to know. I'll do as I please. You don't have any rights. You don't have anything. You only exist to serve me. This mentality has infected the entire government of the United States of America. And as we've discussed so many times before, trust lost is extremely difficult to earn back. But the only, and I do mean the only way to earn it back is by complete openness and honesty. Without that, it can never be gotten back. You can't yell. You can't force it. You can't buy it. If I become a raging alcoholic and I'm out there getting DUIs, drinking a fifth of whiskey every single day, destroying my life and my body, and my wife is trying to get me to stop. I want you to stop drinking. And finally, I tell her I'm going to stop. Well, I don't get to be 15 minutes later than I normally would be getting home after work. I could do that right now. I wouldn't care. She may ask, you stop at the gas station or something like that? Did you get more chips? That's probably what she'd say. Did you stop by Taco Bell? She'd say something like that. But if you've been a raging alcoholic forever, she's going to have some serious questions, and you are going to have to give her serious answers. Honey, I'm sorry I was 15 minutes late. I got a flat tire here. I want you to see. Look, I even have the black tire stuff on my hands. I can even show you the spare. You don't want to have to do that, but there's no way to get her trust back. It's the only way. The United States federal government, through years and years of neglect from our citizens, from us, we have to own it, you and I, years of neglect from us has created a criminal government where people who aren't elected don't feel like they owe anything to you. They feel like they are kings and queens and you're the only one who owes. There's no two-way street. There's no contract. You're just a peasant who exists to serve them. And they've operated that way. For as long as I've been alive, they've operated in that way. In order to change that, we must have openness. And we have to change that. I need to be clear. There are two things that are 100% true right now. One, you should not trust your government at all. Not any of it. That's one. And two, in order to remain a country, we have to trust our government. So how do we merge those two worlds? The only way to do that is for the government to take on the burden of earning that trust back.
the JFK files, the United States president had his head blown off in broad daylight, driving through Dallas. You know the story. Breaking news. JFK was killed. Driving through Dallas. The federal government chose to look into this matter because the American people wanted answers. Of course, everyone knew who Lee Harvey Oswald was right away. Okay, clearly a little bit nutty. What's wrong with this guy? But we want answers. The United States government investigated the matter, created a bunch of files on the matter. They released a little bit of this and a little bit of that to the public. And then they took a gigantic stack of papers. Apparently, there were 80,000 of them. And they threw them in a vault somewhere and said, nope, you don't get to see. And then, to make matters worse, president after president after president, including Donald Trump the first time, said, I'm going to show you these files. You know what? You deserve to see these files. You're a citizen. And then they reneged on the deal. Then we never got them. Well, that only makes you more suspicious. Honey, I'm sorry I was 15 minutes late getting home from work. I know I've had an alcohol problem. I'm not going to tell you where I was, though. You know what? I will tell you. I take that back. I'm not going to tell you. Does that increase or decrease trust? So, you know me, cynical Jesse. I don't think you're going to see something that's going to blow your socks off. I think evil people who are powerful enough to kill a president are powerful enough to cover up the evidence after 60 years. But it's still a good thing, and I applaud Trump for doing it. Open the books. Give us the documents. Let's attempt to mend this relationship we have because it is in need of a lot of mending. So there's my JFK files rant. Let's talk about Chuck Schumer and the little media tour he went on today. Fascinating stuff. Before we do that, let's do this email. Jesse, yesterday was my birthday, and I thought it would be a good day to begin a monthly donation to Preborn. Thank you for your continued support in saving these beautiful lives. God bless you. No, thank you. Thank you for supporting Preborn. Do you have any idea how many lives listeners of this show have saved? Because when you hear about the unborn babies and you hear that they can be saved with the gift of ultrasound, you don't just sit on your hands. If you can, you help. And I've had so many emails like this where people will give monthly or quarterly, or one, it's tax deductible, which is nice. But two, you sign up. What if you just gave $28 a month? That's an ultrasound. That's a life a month. Give it automatically. Don't look at your credit card statement. You never know she's gone. Preborn.com/Jesse. That's where you go to give. Sponsored by Preborn. We'll be back.
Missed out? Catch up. JesseKellyShow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. Remember, you can email the show, Jesse@JesseKellyShow.com. Emails like this one. Dear Temperature King, although Chuck, he's talking about Chuck Schumer, did the right thing, I'm loving the wrath he's receiving from his own created commies. Okay, so I wanted to discuss this because something really, it's amazing watching what we've been talking about, what you and I have been talking about. It's amazing watching it play out. So I thought it might be helpful to rewind a little bit more, because that'll bring us to what happened today with Chuck Schumer and his apology tour and what has happened. So what we're going to do is we're going to rewind to Barack Obama. If you are old enough, you will remember the Bill Clinton Democrat years. Now, I'm not here to celebrate Bill Clinton, but a lot of people listening right now voted for Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton, yes, he's a dirtball. I got all that. But there was a time in this country where Republicans and Democrats, yes, they were different. I don't want to act like they were the same, but it's not as if you could really just point to Democrats and say, wow, everything they want is freaking evil. That's horrifying. It was not always like it is now. But along came somebody America did not fully understand. Barack Obama is his name. And we had 8 years of George Bush, and the country was sick of Republicans by the end of 8 years of George Bush. and along comes this guy. And in politics, and often, honestly, in so much of life, as unfair as this is, it's true, there's no ability like likability. Don't tell me you've never worked with somebody who just, they might not even be very good at their job, but they're just so full of charisma and everybody likes them, so they last way longer than they should. Maybe they even got promoted past you, and they just, it works that way. And maybe you're actually nodding your head thinking about someone at your work right now that's like that. He's not even very good, but dang, he's funny and everybody loves him, and every day everyone wants to grab a beer with him on Friday. He can't ever get fired. And that's a good point, Chris. It works the opposite way too. You've probably worked with someone, or maybe this is you. You're really good at your job, but you're not Mr. or Mrs. Personality. It's not who you are. Maybe you're more reserved. Maybe you don't have a great sense of humor, and you don't ever seem to get that next thing. Again, no ability like likability. We don't have to belabor the point. Barack Obama came along. And America was sick of Republicans, ready to give Democrats a nice look. And Barack Obama presented a moderate face. Not that he was moderate at all, but again, remember, communists always know which mask to put on to cover who they really are. Barack Obama, I remember it like it was yesterday. I think it was in Denver. They had the big Democrat convention. He actually had a line about abortion that me, super pro-lifer, I sat at home and I thought, you know what? I can get on board with that. It was something along the lines of, we can at least all agree that we want to reduce the numbers of abortions, right? I'm sitting there at home saying, you know what? That's a pretty good line. Now, I hated Obama. I didn't vote for him, but that's how he was. Charismatic, gave a great speech, kind of cool, and presented this very middle-of-the-road, moderate face to the United States of America. But he was anything but that. It was anything but that, because Barack Obama had been raised to hate this place. Frank Marshall Davis, I would highly recommend you go look him up. Everybody remembers Reverend Wright, if you're old enough, because that was good talk radio fodder back in the day. But how long would you sit in a church where the pastor said GD America and called it the U.S. of KKKA? I went to one sermon in a church that I was in love with, and he used the term white privilege, and I've never been back. In fact, I've banned my kids from going. Someone asked if they could take my kids there this Sunday, and I said, no, my kids don't sit in that church. One service. Barack Obama sat in that church for 30 years. Why? Because he agrees. That's why. He didn't ever hear that and get offended. He heard that and thought, yeah, US of KKK. Hey, we finally had a Democrat that was radically different than even the Jimmy Carters. We finally had a Democrat who really just genuinely to his core hates the place. Hates the place. And when you combine that with the deadly combination of his charisma, his likability, the American people looked at him and thought, you know what? That's what we need right now. We're voting Barack Obama. And then Barack Obama got elected, and he was just, again, he was so good at it. He was a worthy opponent. Give him credit where it's due. He understood where the real power in this country was. The real power lied in the bureaucracy. And so he very purposely, he put committed communists all around him, Newland, Rice, all these types. He put them all around him, and he began to reshape and remake all of America's bureaucracy. Have you ever wondered why the FBI went from being this trusted organization to being what we know as the Cheka on this show, an evil secret state police agency that should be disbanded? How did that happen? Barack Obama wiped out all the management, replaced them all with committed communists. Obama did that. This will come back to Chuck Schumer and what happened today, so just stay with me. So Barack Obama, after campaigning like a moderate, governed like something completely different. We'll pick up the story from there in a moment. Hang on.
The Jesse Kelly Show.
I like it.
Returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. Back to what we were talking about. We're going to get to what happened with Chuck Schumer today and the why. And it's just fascinating watching everything you and I have been talking about just come out in real time. So we're doing a little rewind here to what happened and how do we end up to this place, well, where we are today. Barack Obama gets elected, campaigning like a moderate. campaign. Remember, look, for those of you who aren't old enough, you think the Democrat Party has always been this nutball, degenerate party of wackadoos. Allow me to introduce you to Barack Obama.
I believe that marriage is between a man and a woman.
Yeah. What you're seeing today is different. But he was really the author of it, which is what makes it so funny. He fills up the government with committed communists. He also did something else, though. He really remade the party itself, the Democrat Party, into more his image. This is the power of the presidency, and you've seen this so many times throughout history. After 8 years of Ronald Reagan, the Republican Party was much more anti-communist, free market. That Reagan image, the party slowly but surely takes on the image of the leader. Right now, you're watching it in the GOP. The party is slowly but surely taking on Trump's image. And long after this four-year term is over, his impact will be felt. 8 years of Barack Obama slowly but surely turned the Democrat Party from being this different, certainly different, not what I would like, but different party, not nakedly anti-American, to what Barack Obama was. Nakedly anti-American. I know it's hard for young people to believe, but before Barack Obama, Republican and Democrat presidents would routinely present themselves as being uber patriots in public. Even if they didn't really believe it, I understand politicians lie about everything. Bill Clinton was Mr. America. All of them were. July 4th, celebrate America. America, woo! And before Barack Obama, when American presidents went abroad, they understood the American public demanded that they be pro-America abroad. Even if they were doing things you or I didn't like, you didn't go overseas and dump on the country. Barack Obama did it all the time. America's been dumb. Slowly but surely remade the Democrat Party. And then Trump came along in 2016. And what happened was the normies, you already knew this, but the normies in the country, they couldn't quite put their finger on it, but they knew something was wrong with what the last 8 years of the country had been. They understood that something had turned and they didn't like it at all. Donald Trump, his election was a complete rejection of what Obama had done to the country. A complete rejection. It wasn't as much a rejection of Hillary Clinton. It was a rejection of Democrats, period. 8 years of that anti-America stuff, and even the normies were all, that's too far. Now comes Donald Trump, who was over the top with his wrapping himself in the flag, and we wanted that. We liked that. Yes, finally. Yes, good, that. And then they stole an election from him in 2020. Don't email me. Look at the numbers. Come on. They installed Joe Biden as president. And Joe Biden, he took the roads Barack Obama paved. And when I say paving the roads, I mean filling up the bureaucracy and the judiciary with the most radical anti-Americans. Barack Obama paved those highways. Joe Biden gets elected. He goes, curls up in a corner with a blankie, drools on himself, and hands the country over to all those committed communists who had worked under Barack Obama, the Lisa Monacos, the Susan Rices, the Newlands, all these vicious communists. They ran the country and they went insane with it. Absolutely. You name it. We have, in fact, Chris, you can grab this audio if you find it. If not, that's fine. But I remember like it was yesterday, Jen Psaki, the press secretary of the United States of America, she got up. I think this is during COVID. I'm not sure, but I'm pretty sure it was during COVID. She got up and bragged on camera that the White House was working with social media companies and letting social media companies know what they should be censoring at any. Oh, you have it, Chris? Oh, good.
In terms of actions, Alex, that we have taken or we're working to take, I should say, from the federal government, we've increased disinformation research and tracking within the Surgeon General's office. We're flagging problematic posts for Facebook that spread disinformation.
were flagging problematic posts for Facebook that spread disinformation. That wasn't just something that was done behind the scenes by email. These communists were so brazen and committed, they said it on camera bragging about it. At various points in time in American history, if any politician in either party said something like that, you would probably have to leave town in the middle of the night for fear of getting hurt. The modern Democrat Party just turned Mao overnight and bragged about it. Overdrive. Overdrive. The party was handed to the Maoists. Joe Biden, as we've already discussed, I'm not going to go over that again tonight, was too old and weak to hold them back. Nancy Pelosi, by this point in time, too old and weak to hold them back. And the savages simply took over everything. Now they're angry. Now the entire party, left, right, middle, well, if there is a right, whatever the right-wing version of a Democrat is these days, they're all angry. That's part of this, too. They lost an election, and they lost an election to the guy they think is the Antichrist. So they're extra, extra angry. And now they're doing what's normal. They're looking for somebody to blame. The problem is guys like Chuck Schumer. He was around during the Obama years. He's been around forever. He knows what building a winning coalition looks like. Chuck Schumer's a New York senator, yes, of course, but Chuck Schumer is also well aware that you've got to go out there and win Pennsylvania or you're not going back to the White House. He knows that. And knowing that, this CR, this continuing resolution, hits Chuck Schumer's desk. It passes the House, it hits his desk, and Chuck Schumer has a decision to make. He can get enough Democrat votes to pass it, and if he passes it, it does deliver to the American people some things they want. He knows, he sees the poll numbers. The American people are happy with Donald Trump. They're really, really happy with the immigration stuff Trump is doing. And Schumer knows the American people, they want that thing to pass. They want it to keep going. He understands that. He also understands that the nut job savages, the younger ones in his party, they simply want him to obstruct and stop it. And he knows, Chuck Schumer knew, that if he were to stop that CR and shut down the government, when the American people already hate Democrats, they're already happy with Donald Trump, if he comes out and says, nope, I'm stopping all this stuff you like and we're shutting down the government, Chuck Schumer knew that it would crush Democrats in the polls if he were to do that. That a party that was already cratering would only go lower if he did that. And so he did the only political thing he could do. Dug up a couple votes, got the CR through, it went through. But the problem is, rewinding all the way back to Barack Obama, slowly but surely the salty old dogs like Chuck Schumer, they've lost their power. And the animals have taken over. And Chuck Schumer said something today. Everyone's probably heard it, but they missed what he really said today. He said something today that just puts the cherry on top of this little saga. It's glorious. We'll go over that in a moment. Before we go over that, you have any idea how wonderful it is to be able to look at pictures of your older loved ones on your phone and your computer? You know what that means to me now? I didn't appreciate it before, I'll be honest with you. But we all have the same thing. We all have a box of pictures, physical pictures. We all have some old home movies, camcorder tapes. We all have that picture on the wall of grandma and grandpa getting married during the Great Depression. And none of us have digitized those things. We're all just letting time destroy that picture, so that our great-great-great-grandkids, they won't even know what you look like. Isn't that sad? Why don't you get that stuff digitized to preserve those memories? But who can you trust to do something like that? I trust the American company, Legacy Box, the family business. They do their work in America. They hire Americans. Send your pictures to Tennessee. Let Legacy Box digitize them. They'll send them all back with digital stuff as well, so you never lose them. 50% off right now for a limited time. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. That's LegacyBox.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Get the cure for rhinos. Weekdays with the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Chris, don't you ever insult Starman. That's not bad music. You don't like Starman? That's not a pot smoking. That's classic David Bowie. I mean, yeah, he's probably on drugs or something. I just assume every musician is on drugs. That's still a great song, man. No, you know what? Not everyone thinks like you, Chris. All right? Not everybody thinks like you. Now, back to what Chuck Schumer said today. You've already heard it, but people are missing. They're missing the real point in all this. Chuck Schumer, after he passed that CR, he had to cancel his book tour, which we've already talked about, because of threats. Threats from who? Well, we don't do that. Threats from the savages, the street animals, the communists. He was being threatened. He's out there today on a media tour. He dropped this little number on there, and this is an unbelievable thing to say, but not for the reason you think. Here he was.
And you know what their attitude is? I made my money all by myself. How dare your government take my money from me? I don't want to pay taxes. Or I built my company with my bare hands. How dare your government tell me how I should treat my customers, my the land.
Now, speaking of Barack Obama, if you were alive back then, don't worry, this will come back to Schumer. What was the biggest scandal Barack Obama got himself into when he was running for president? What happened? Something happened on the campaign trail. Do you remember what it was? Well, spoiler alert, here's what it was. He started talking to a guy, Joe the plumber. You remember they started talking to this plumber? And on camera, Barack Obama told Joe the plumber that you need to spread the wealth around. That little clip, it did so much damage to Barack Obama's campaign, it almost cost him the presidency. You can't say things like that. You can say things like that to a bunch of rabid communist animals when you're in a closed room fundraiser. You cannot say things like this on camera.
And you know what their attitude is? I made my money all by myself. How dare your government take my money from me? I don't want to pay taxes. Or I built my company with my bare hands. How dare your government tell me how I should treat my...
Chuck Schumer has been around long enough to understand you don't say things like he just said and put it on camera, because what Chuck Schumer just did today on The View with that little statement alone is he wrote GOP ads for them for the midterms. You will see that statement from Chuck Schumer across television sets across the United States of America. And here's the thing. It's not that Chuck Schumer is a radical communist. It's not that Chuck Schumer doesn't know. Chuck Schumer knew. When he said that today, he knew that would be an extremely damaging statement to come out of his mouth. If you were a younger Democrat and you proposed saying that to Chuck Schumer, even last week, Chuck Schumer would have said, absolutely not. We need to edit that because they're going to clip that and make you sound like a communist. That's the kind of thing that's going to turn normal people off. Yet Chuck Schumer went on The View today and said that. Why? Because the left flank of Chuck Schumer is coming for him. He is in so much danger of losing his leadership position that Chuck Schumer is now going on television set, putting out damaging statements that will only hurt him and his party, because it's the only chance he has at maintaining power inside Democrat circles, because he can smell it. They're coming
for him. And as somebody who is influential in helping Biden's decision to step aside, do you think it might be time for you to?
No. I think that, you know, my Senate caucus, first, U.S., who's the leader? When we don't have a president, there are a lot of leaders. We have a lot of really strong talent in the Senate, in the House, in the governors. We have a great bench. Mm-hmm. But as for the Senate caucus, of which I'm the leader, I should be the leader.
They're already asking, should you step down? Step down. I think you should step down. Chuck Schumer today put an extremely damaging statement on camera that will be spread far and wide because he is in such, he's in so much danger of losing his position of power. That is what has happened to the Democrat Party. They're gone. And they're listening to people like Don Lemon.
People love AOC. People love Jasmine Crockett. People love Eric Swalwell.
Oh, and let me pause on this for a moment. Before you make fun of Don Lemon for this, a poll just came out recently, a Democrat poll. What Don Lemon is saying is not wrong. Inside Democrat circles, guess who the most popular Democrat in the United States of America is? AOC. The socialist from New York. The most popular one in America. The party has moved away. Chuck Schumer's in trouble.
People love AOC. People love Jasmine Crockett. People love Eric Swalwell and the like. And I think that the Democratic Party should put the people out there who the people want. They should put the politicians out there who the people want, who they're asking for.
It's amazing to watch what is happening. And in a way, it's terrifying, of course. We don't want, it's not good for the country to have the Democrat Party turn into the Stalin Party. It's not good. It's not good at all. Then we have to live in mortal fear of these savages ever taking power again. That's not good. It shouldn't be that way. But watching the Pelosis, the Schumers be run out is amazing. Now we're going to dig into some ugly stuff, okay? The first thing we're going to dig into is this. I made a statement on last night's show. We have had in our kitchen here in the studio, I would guess for 3 years, at least 2 years, the largest container of honey you have ever seen in your life. How much did you say that container was that you bought? I'll play the rest of it on the back end, but I made a statement last night about our gigantic thing of honey going bad. I did receive your emails. There were lots of them. We will discuss that in a moment, and then we'll talk about the judges and the anger and everything going on in the country. Also, we're going to discuss your testosterone levels. They're too low. You want to know how anti-communist Chuck is? Here's a little tidbit for you. Some dirty communist reached out to Chalk and told them they need to stop sponsoring the show because, and I quote, Chalk would be appalled if they heard something I said. I don't even know what I said. You want to know what Chalk's response to them was? I kid you not. He said, whatever Jesse said on the radio, I assure you I've said much worse. That's Chalk. Not only do they give the best herbal supplements in the world, not only will they have your energy, your focus, your T levels through the roof, they are us. They share our values. Isn't that where you want your money to go? Put your money where your morals are. Patronize the hardcore anti-communist Sitchok. Take a male vitality stack or a female vitality stack for 90 days and you'll feel so freaking good. I promise. All right? CHOQ.com, promo code Jesse. Chuck.com, promo code Jesse. Judges and the like. And Saving America. Next.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty on Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty on demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.